732. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you to our volunteers, and stay tuned for Caroline Casey.
You are listening to 94.1 KPFA and 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, 97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Stay tuned next for the Visionary Activist Show.
Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. Since September 5th, 1996, woohoo team. So we have a splendid real show lined up for us with fantastic guest Joe McMoneagle, who's been called the best operational remote viewer in the history of the U.S. Army's special project Stargate, and more, much more. But let me be responsible to our station first, lest you become too magnetized to call. We're offering some fun Visionary Activist Show swag that we've made especially for you. One is a bumper sticker that is, "Where's your liberating blessing?" It was a little ruder to begin with, but we've refined it. "Where's your liberating blessing?" for a pledge of $25. We also have the Visionary Activist bumper sticker, "Fascism arises in the absence of magic." There we go. We're also offering the Visionary Activist Astrology Handbook and audio series, 9 Hours of Me. That's what started the whole show, because Sounds True gave this to KPFA that played it on the air in 1996, and there was a huge response, and may it be resonating all the way into now. You know, and that's for a pledge of $100. And then we have the tote bags. Magic is simply a willingness to cooperate with everything, $60. Fascism arises in the absence of magic. Yes, you'll see your person at the farmer's market. You'll see your allies for a pledge of $60. The Visionary Activist Show tote bag, "Where's your liberating blessing?" $60. Or all of those things. What fun, for a pledge of $300 by calling 1-800-439-5732. Or securely online at kpfa.org. All our listeners spread out really globally. We have listeners in Syria. Yes, we do. The internet is still okay. In Japan, South Africa, all across this country. Woof, woof, woof. So, there we go. So, the Visionary Activist Show today, yes, we are welcoming our great ally, Joe McMoneagle, the best operational remote viewer in the history of the U.S. Army Special Project Stargate. Joe is internationally renowned as a master remote viewer and author of 4 books on remote viewing, has 47 years of professional and scientific expertise in research and development within numerous multi-level technical intelligence collection systems and in the field of the paranormal and the social sciences. It goes on and on. He shares his expertise by facilitating the remote viewing program at the Monroe Institute, where I met him thanks to his wonderful wife. Which trains participants to acquire and describe information seemingly separated from the viewer and his or her physical senses by distance, shielding, and or time. It's Joe's goal to ensure that when participants leave the program, they will have a much deeper understanding for what remote viewing is, and a very large percentage of those attending will walk away knowing they had remote viewed under double-blind conditions and have tools to do so in the future. MonroeInstitute.org. org. Welcome, Joe.
Hello, how are you?
All the better. I did finish your book, and I had to get up and move around and take some digestive enzymes, going, whoa, what a wild ride. Whoa. But I want to begin sort of at the end and then work our way wherever you want to go. This is a completely democratic show, Joe. Wherever you want to go, I will aspire to guide. But towards the end, you say, well, somebody asks you, you know, how could you do the remote viewing the night before when no one knew what the target was going to be? And you say, time and space are illusions. It doesn't matter when I do the remote viewing. I only have to target what I'm eventually going to see. That way, it never leaves my head. You said there was a long silence at the table. Anyway, I love that. And I just want to throw in one more, too, towards the end of your great book, The Stargate Chronicles, Memoirs of a Psychic Spy. Regardless of how one might feel about the efficacy of using the paranormal for intelligence gathering, I can emphatically state that it works. It's here, and it will continue to be reinvented from time to time until it becomes part of the established, historically accepted background. Wishing it can't or won't doesn't make it go away, and doesn't make it any less effective in the new understanding of modern warfare techniques. We may want to tease it, because you're always reinventing yourself, clearly, right?
That's correct. In fact, I like to say I'm subject to change in the next 3 to 5 minutes.
Excellent.
I try not to become wedded to any singular idea that I'm not capable of changing in terms of how reality works. I don't think anyone really knows the answers. We make claim to them once in a while, but usually something happens that changes them.
Right. No, you're in a most welcoming venue, lad. That's completely great. I like to say, believe nothing, entertain possibilities. And you say everyone who walks the planet is psychic to one degree or another. And again, what do we cultivate or not cultivate? But kind of segueing from the previous show, you know, when journeying through the underworld, this seems important to everybody. Boundaries and self-care seem to be really important. You touch on this theme throughout your memoir, going, right, boundaries and self-care. Because you speak about, you know, the stress and not always in a supportive or rarely in a supportive environment, you know, and the exercise goes, the food diet goes, whatever, and then you would go to the underworld and then come back, right? So you're here now, right?
Well, there's, you know, you could say also that almost anything that you believe or anything that you do in life is not completely supported by everyone. So, but there are some things that you are less ridiculed over. And unfortunately, anything having to do with the psi world or having to do with the paranormal seems to be automatically ridiculed in that regard by many people, which is really terrible on their part, because they're not enjoying the positive aspects of it. When I say that everyone in the world is psychic to some degree, that's not just my belief. That's actually been proven so far in labs. Almost every human being we've ever run into the lab and tested in some way has proven to show some degree of capability. So
right.
We think it's a very ancient capability. It probably has something to do with our survival as a species. There are many animals that use all of their senses for survival, and there's no reason to believe that we don't also use all of our senses, to include the ones we don't believe in.
Right. No. We. You know, we're all in this dream together, and we share. You know, we love. You know, we are the molecules with which the big story speaks to itself through the agency of synchronicity, small and large. So we've both been on Nightline. we've both been mocked on Nightline, but spiraled out of it in a pretty okay way. There we go. That's right. You know, Ed Koppel going, oh, it's all rubbish, isn't it? You know, but spiraling free, because, you know, also just part of now. I mean, we're here because your wonderful wife. Hi there, Scooter. Came to a talk that I gave on astrology, and I didn't know who she was. I didn't know who you were. But she wanted to book me a year ahead for a talk at the Monroe Institute. And I go, man, this person's, or woman, this woman's organized. Let me touch her for luck. That's really impressive. And it was adorable. And I thought, what a lovely person. I didn't know she was head of the whole thing. Holy moly. And then she introduced you to me as we sat down to dinner and said, this is my famous husband, Joe McMoneagle. And I go, oh, well, okay. Now I know a whole lot more. But just for the fun of it, you know, it was a great week. It was a great week. I love your team. And the head of the Ryan Institute did come. And one of the things that I took from that to segue back to your, you know, we're all psychic and what do we cultivate? He talked about the, you'll have to excuse my inexact language, but the dark room with the photon camera.
Right, and, exactly.
And that when there's nobody in there, you know, it registers, you're going to have to correct me, you know, 5 photons per second. You know, when you put a human in there, it goes up to 12 to something. And so he said, you know, we glow. We humans, we glow in the dark. And then I like this too, because I love everyone, including yours, high, credible standards. And he said, well, we were working with healers, and we said, okay, healers in this room, do your thing. And he said, you know, for 70-80%, nothing happened. It doesn't mean they weren't healers, but for 30-20%, it went up to like, you'll have to correct me again too, like a million, like, so it's like.
Yeah, right, wow. Exactly.
Yeah,
I think, The healing part of being human takes place whether we know it or not. It's a group endeavor. And so whenever we're concerned about someone or we spend time with someone who needs it and they're open to it, they'll of course get it. Those who aren't open to it will usually not get it as well, but they still get it whether they like it or not. Healing's a whole different area from remote viewing, of course. It takes cooperation from both the patient as well as the healer.
Yes. And there's a couple of things I want to sort of strew. I love my friend Steve Behrman quips, sure, it works in practice, but does it work in theory? You know, and I think part of your whole dedicated life is, let's see if things work, and then how that might change our theory to be more inclusive and vast and full of wonder and uncertainty. But let's go into, you know, some of the things that you've really done. And again, you can go anywhere. I was with you for the whole ride going, whoa, you know, you have deep memories all the way back to when you were a baby that are quite precise.
And exactly. And I think many people do. With regard to with the remote viewing, I've been involved in remote viewing now for well over 40 years, and I've done probably in the neighborhood of a couple hundred demonstrations, double blind. Probably half of those have been on national level television in 7 different countries, and it doesn't work all the time, but it does work about 80% of the time to some degree. The difficulty with remote viewing is knowing when information is produced, knowing when that information is correct or when it's incorrect. So there has to be some system of verification. The system of verification, of course, needs to be set up prior. And there's many ways of doing that, very intricate ways of doing that. But in all cases, the remote viewer, a monitor who may be sitting with the remote viewer, people who may be judging the remote viewing, all of those things are done completely blind to whatever the subject matter might be. So it's an attempt to basically produce information out of nothing and to guarantee that no one's been led or are directed in some way as to what the information is that you're looking for, that kind of thing.
And, And it is one of the intriguing things when people think that, you know, what is real and what we're dedicated to is a fraud. Part of me always says, do you know how much more work that would be to be a fraud? That would just be incredibly stressful.
It's not only stressful, but it wouldn't work as frequently as the remote viewing does. So I find that intriguing. I also find it intriguing that some people have a need to try to prove fraud where there is none, and lack the need in areas that they personally have bought into. So we all have our proclivities in terms of what we're willing to suspend our disbelief for. It's just that some are more will suspend their disbelief in more more normal areas, you could call normal areas, versus paranormal. And some people just suspend their disbelief in the paranormal arena. And so I just find it interesting that people have trouble deciding what it is they'll suspend their disbelief for temporarily enough to have an experience.
Right. And you know, just to put some things on the table, you know, you said that one of the assignments was to discern when Skylab, the satellite, would fall to Earth. And you predicted July 5th. It fell July 11th, 1979. And you said you missed it by 60 kilometers, which is pretty good given the vastness of the Earth, right?
So the planet, yes.
The planet.
I have something wrong, though. I had a specific impact place, which was about 60 kilometers off, but my debris field, you know, there's a primary impact area, and then there's a debris field that follows out after it. And that debris field went the opposite direction of the way it should have. In other words, it went, instead of from left to right, it went from right to left or something. I can't remember which it was, but it was the exact opposite of the way the actual debris field was developed, because I had the satellite coming in from the wrong direction. I get the direction of the satellite wrong when it fell out of orbit, but I did get the location fairly accurate, and I certainly made the prediction within 5 or 6 days of its actual impact, and that was up to, I think, about a year before it actually fell out of orbit. And it was one of those things that nobody actually knew the answer to.
Right. And also, just here's an intriguing thing. You know, as we're convening now, and I always look at the sky-earth, you know, endogenous story, because I think all these things are in us, you know. Neptune has to do, you know, it symbolizes, it doesn't cause, it symbolizes dreams, vision, imagination, water. It's very powerful now. We want to waft blessings, cool blessings to all the hot reactive areas in the world. But it is quintile. It's having a very good time, 72-degree angle to the sun, which says, pragmatic mysticism is available, and you're a great exemplar of that. And just for the fun of it, because we want to wish you well too, you know, Neptune in Pisces, its home realm, would say, you know, imagine that absolutely the deepest, most soulful part of you is increasingly welcome in the collective realm, which is true. But the reason I brought that up is that, you know, Neptune says, you know, wonder is better than certainty, but it's associated with water, and water reflects a reverse image, right? So I just like
right.
that the debris field was the reverse, and you began to, didn't you also say that after that you began to just reverse what you saw about debris fields?
What happened is we started noticing in the actual research data that once in a while, and there was no way to predict when, but once in a while, the drawings that were done were exactly opposite of the way they should have been. In other words, you
mirror.
Could do a drawing on a piece of paper, and the drawing would be dead accurate, but it would be 180 degrees flipped. In other words, you would have to flip the page over to have it correct in actuality, where there'd be nothing wrong with a drawing, it just would be 180 degrees flipped over. We think that might have something to do with the processing of the material within the mind itself, you know, the sort of the left brain, right brain. changes of some kind. It just happens occasionally. It doesn't happen all the time. So it's not something that we can actually say why it happens. We just don't know yet. There's not enough data to say.
Right, but we can wonder. So there's a number of specifics I want to go to. Just even on the back cover of your book, The Stargate Chronicles, Memoirs of a Psychic, describing the interior of a top-secret Soviet manufacturing plant and predicting a new class of submarine. Because, you know, when the people are standing around, they're like, no, it couldn't be a submarine. No, anyway, and it was. And many other extraordinary things that are absolutely for real. But you also dive us into November 1979, when you were told to not watch any of the news, but that's when the American embassy in Tehran was taken. And
right, exactly. What happened in the embassy takeover? The embassy was seized over a weekend. I think it was a Sunday. I'm not absolutely sure, but I do know it was over a weekend. And they had no idea who was actually working in the embassy at the time and who wasn't. And unfortunately, when you have your people taken as hostages, if you don't go back to that particular country, those people, and say, we know who you're holding as a hostage, and name them specifically, then they can take someone who isn't named or isn't known to be a hostage and disappear them in some way. In our case, we were asked to identify, out of the large number of people working in that particular embassy, to identify who was a specific hostage and who wasn't. And in our case, we were able to identify nearly all of the hostages. In fact, actually drew sketches of a couple of the hostages because there was no photograph available. And those were CIA people that were taken in a completely different area other than the embassy grounds. So had they not been identified, they probably would have disappeared entirely.
And you mentioned in that example, and a number of others too, that when you're looking for missing people, that sometimes you can see where they are, but also feel their condition, right?
Yeah, we had another remote viewer by the name of Hartley Trent, and he was exceptionally good at this. He could tell you things about what they were thinking and how they were being bound or held. In one case of a general who was kidnapped in Italy, who was a UN representative from Italy, he stated that the man was being bound with chains and chained to a radiator in a room, but he was actually sitting in a tent. And that didn't make any sense at all. He also had a set of headsets taped to his head, and they were playing very loud music in his ears or something. And he also mentioned some details about his thoughts during the entire process. All of those things turned out to be absolutely true. And in fact, a lot of the material, while it wasn't used directly in his rescue, was verified by the information that the Italian police had collected, and later verified by the hostage himself. So I find that to be really fascinating. Hartley was extremely good at that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, I love your teamwork and the cross verification. And then we wonder, you know, about is there an empathic cost? Because you also mentioned there was a woman viewer who burst into tears, saw a huge fire, and that's when a bomb had gone off. So in your own experience, is there an empathic cost to feeling your way into the dynamic of somebody under stress, or is it clear? Is it cooler?
Well, you of course, you're not actually suffering what the person's suffering. I think that would be a mistake to assume that. When someone usually has an emotional response to the material, it's usually because of their own failure or their own success or failure to succeed. As an example would be, if you were looking for a missing child and you were able to find that missing child, that in essentially saving the child's life, that's a very significant high that one might have. It's just an unbelievably great feeling. But in some cases, you're unsuccessful in finding the child before the child dies. This has happened to me on a couple of occasions, and the pain of not getting there in time is excruciating. But that's not the child's emotion of dying. That's your emotion of failure. It's especially true when you spend perhaps 2 or 3 hours arguing with the authorities to let you go and pick the child up, you know, from the place they're lost in, and they refuse to let you assist. They just ignore what you have to say, and then later might use your assistance because they have nothing left to help, and you find the child, and you're just 40 minutes late or 30 minutes late, and the child is dead. I have a great deal of difficulty with those situations. I see no reason, if you have, whether you believe in it or not, if you have information that could be of value, you should always use it. I don't care where it comes from.
Right. No, you delineate that in your book, Stargate Chronicles: Memoirs of Psychic Spy. And that brings us to a really important point, because also you're delineating. I mean, you're involved with all the major intelligence agencies of our government, and I talk to a lot of people who have left those, and it is an interesting mystery. About, you know, well, certainly the Army's insensitivity, and then also the realm of cops as well. I've talked to a number of cops coming for readings through the quirkiness, and they'd all had really, really strong psychic experiences, but they were like, don't tell my buddy, don't tell my partner, or they'll dismiss me or put me away. And then the partner would come up and go, I had this really spooky experience, but don't tell my partner. I go, you know, you guys should be talking. But it's also that model of, you know, we're training people, some, in this case cops, you know, completely ill-equipped to walk that line of kind of death-birth, to pay attention to their empathy, but also these experiences, which for everybody, as you point out, you know, get suppressed if there's no theoretical framework to support it, but that's all changing. One other thing I just wanted to bring up about the hostages in Tehran and your work with that is, you said repetitive front loading was overwhelming, to be doing the same thing over and over again about what's real and what's not, and that's also why avoiding the news was really important, because it clouds it, right?
It's absolutely essential that you not know as much as possible, not know as much as possible about what it is you're working on. In the case of the hostages, we avoided the news, newspapers, radio, television, all of those things for well over a year. And that becomes very debilitating after a while. You're afraid to sit and watch something on television because you might be unavoidably front-loaded with some information that you don't need. There were attempts, and in fact, to view front-loading as a possible way of defending against remote viewers. And
right.
Attempts to deliberately front-load a remote viewer to make them miss their targets or miss their, you know, become less accurate. In some cases, that was not even possible. Remote viewers who have decades of experience in remote viewing just know when they're not supposed to be adding information into the equation that they've heard versus information that they've actually gotten from a psychic source, that kind of thing.
And then in a kind of free range, unstructured form, we might say, that's what the news does, actually. You know, for everybody's kind of intuitive psychic perception of what might possibly be true, it's like, no, let's cloud that with all news and distraction media. There we go, which is why you want to pledge to KPFA, but we'll get to that in some moments here. But all news and distraction going right to kind of cleanse, which we might say is part of self-care, to kind of cleanse our perceptions, so that it's not. And then just for our team, you use the term outlander. You know, it's part right. of your technical setup there. And what is an outlander?
Well, like I said before, the idea is that psychic functioning is actually a survival mechanism. It goes back tens of thousands of years ago, when we even lacked the extra layer of brain material that allows us to do significant functioning in terms of analysis and evaluation and processing, that sort of thing. If you go back those tens of thousands of years, we had nowhere to go to get information that was of significant value, like the news systems or the library or to professionals in the field, that kind of thing. So every one of us, in order to survive, had to rely on some information system. And that information system is what's happening in our own minds. And if we had not gotten significant internal warnings that we were approaching a rock that the saber-toothed tiger was hiding behind, or we were selecting the wrong cave to sleep in at night because the cave bear might come back to that cave. If we didn't get those kinds of warnings, we wouldn't even be here as a species today. So we had a great reliance on psi functioning when it helped us survive in a period of no knowledge or no information of any significant value. Well, now we live in a world that's nothing but information, and we generally are processing tons of stuff, and much of it is not even material to our problem that we're essentially having to deal with. I'm not saying that someone should rely totally on their psychic self, but it is a significant personal check, and it's a survival mechanism, so it can be of extreme value to one personally.
And I think that's part of our relationship to dogs, which actually plays an important role in your life and you and your beautiful wife's life and everything. But our telepathic kinship, because part of it also was our evolving relationship with wolves, is that they would know when the saber-toothed tiger, through senses, many smell and everything, but also, intuitive regard, and they could transmit to us. I mean, I know this from living with actual coyote, going, don't go in the cave, saber-toothed tiger there. But in just a little bit of our time remaining, and I hope we can think of this as part one, because there's so much to explore. But you mentioned President Carter when he was on the news, and he's holding a folder that says Grill Flame. Right? And and everybody goes, whoa, what's that thing? And then later he talks about a missing Soviet aircraft carrying nuclear weapons. And you find it, right?
Well, I didn't find it, but there were other people that had, and there were at least two or three people I know put it within a mile circle, a circle with a diameter of about a mile in Central Africa. I think the country was Zaire. Two or three people were able to overlap, looking at maps singularly by themselves, their reported locations that they said that the downed bomber was in overlapped. The concentric circles gave them a very good idea where to look. And so they inserted a team of people into this jungle, and the first person they met on the jungle trail was someone carrying a piece of the bomber back to his village to right. patch the hole in his roof, the roof of his hut. So they found the bomber almost immediately. President Carter was questioned about how they were able to find the bomber when he reported that we had found it and returned it to the or gave the location of its of its location to the Russians. And he said, of course, we found it with our psychics. And it, in fact, was one of the psychics in the program who reported it first. There were at least three others I know of that had concentric circles overlaying the same area. So it was confirmed multiple right. times prior to entering the team.
And Carter goes that way. But I love, yes, you found the villagers carrying off part of the debris of the Soviet aircraft
exactly.
carrying nuclear weapons, which is the very ending of a show, an HBO show that was so good it didn't get renewed. I don't know if you ever saw it, called The Brink. It was genius, and dark and funny, and I think you and Scooter would love it. But it ends, and it's like, oh no, season two, with villagers finding debris from an aircraft carrying nuclear weapons, and we go, oh. All right. So in our remaining time, I was experiencing your book, and I got to the kidnapping of Dozier, but I went so fast. What happened to Dozier's wife?
Oh, what happened is these people from the Rope Brigada, the Red Brigade, arrived at his home right around supper time. He lived at the time, I believe, it was Ravenna, Italy. And he was a representative, American representative to the United Nations in Italy. Anyway, they broke into his home and captured him and his wife and tied his wife up to a chair in the kitchen. I think they might have duct taped her to the chair or something. And they took him and put him in a large box and carried him out, put him in a van and left with him. So no one knew that he had been kidnapped by the Red Brigade until the following morning when the housekeeper showed up and found his wife incarcerated in the kitchen.
Okay.
So they had a 12-hour head start. One of the problems in that regard is that with a 12-hour head start, they could have been anywhere in Eastern or Western Europe, which gave a pretty big search area a problem of locating him. One of the things that occurred in our remote viewing, however, is we as a group, and I'm talking about three or four remote viewers now, all put him within just a few miles of where he was taken from. And I kept getting an archaic word. The archaic word for Ravenna, I think, or right. one of the nearby towns anyway, is Padua. And because I kept using the archaic word versus the modern word, they assumed that they must be holding him in the old part of the city. And it turns out that the drawings that I did matched an area within the old part of the city. And that information all turned out to be absolutely correct. That was married up with information from, like I said, Hartley Trent, who said that he was being held in an apartment inside a tent and chained to a radiator. And his floor and my floor agreed, as well as the entry area of the building, all agreed. And all of that turned out to be correct as well.
And also a crucial part of that is that I guess some intelligence said that he was dead, and you and your team said no, he's alive.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah, that's exactly right. There it's usually fairly easy to tell if someone's alive or dead. That if I had to say something's easy in remote viewing, I'd have to say that's probably easier than not. It also is very easy to tell when someone is highly distressed. In other words, are having a medical problem or are being tortured, that kind of thing. Hartley Trent also happened to come into work one morning and said that that there was a one of the hostages would be released within 24 hours, and he said that the problem was that they had a relapse in their MS. They had MS, and the relapse was pretty severe, and they were going to be releasing them so they could get medical attention. And that was forwarded to the Department of the Army, and they went out and sent a medical team that specialized in that to Wiesbaden, Germany. And within 24 hours, and he also named the person who was going to be released. And within 24 hours, he was actually released. And everybody wondered how the Army knew that that the right medical people should be in Wiesbaden when he got there.
Right. I'm gonna have to reluctantly release you. But as you brought psychic capacity to the Army, may we also bring empathy to the Army and all beings as well, and I hope this is part one, because then in your exciting and riveting book that I had to get up and race around and breathe deeply after I finished it, going whoa, whew, ha, because then we go to you were released from the Army and the Monroe Institute, which we want to do a whole thing on, and you found with your beautiful wife the Intuitive Intelligence Applications Company, and then there's a whole lot more, but that'll have to wait as long as our station stays on the air, which I'm going to go make sure it does. But thank you
yeah,
so much, Joel.
I did a whole lot more remote viewing for private companies and things. Approximately 33 years of that with my company, Intuitive Intelligence Applications.
Right.
That was after I retired, and I also continued to do viewing after that for many of the research institutes, Stanford Research Institute International, and when the lab moved from there, we moved to Science Applications International Corporation. I continue to do remote viewing there, and I'm currently a partner in the Cognitive Sciences Lab in Palo Alto, California, where we're still doing experiments and research in the paranormal, not just remote viewing, but in many other things.
All right, I'm going to go now. I'm going to engage in a temporary boundary here, because I must go forth and be responsible to the station and pitch. But I love thinking of this as part one. Give my regards to your beautiful team at the Monroe Institute, and may we reconvene at some perfect soon time.
Okay, we can do that anytime.
That's great.
I appreciate you having me on your show. Thank you.
My pleasure. Absolutely. Thank you, team. So this is Caroline Casey. We are reluctantly releasing our fascinating forever, because he knows so many people, and many famous, interesting people come up in the course of his memoir. But we are offering here, and as I said, in reluctantly releasing him, that I now it's. Now it's important to keep this show and this station on the air so that we can have Ed McMonigal and many other people with crucial pieces of the puzzle. And it falls to us to kind of tease the implications that, I couldn't, explore in this condensed period with Ed McMonigal and many others too, going, right, our expanded empathy. Radio, of course, is expanded empathy and a kind of remote viewing in a way. So let me remind everyone the fun swag that the Visionary Activist Show has created for you. They have a goal, a very high, exciting goal for this hour, and now I will dedicate to it as well. So here we go. So we're offering us thank you gifts, encouraging magnetizing, this show that is a voice for all of these crucial things and the wedding of spiritual mojo and ingenious social action in myriad forms in a large, ever-expanding embrace. So we have the bumper sticker, Where's Your Liberating Blessing? Visionary Activist Show, for a pledge of $25. We have, I like this one, we have the bumper sticker, Fascism Arises in the Absence of Magic. Yeah, for a pledge of $25. We have the Visionary Activist Astrology Handbook and Audio Series, 9 hours of me talking quite calmly and slowly, because it's from 1990s, it's still pertinent. And that comes with the Astrological Language of the Psyche. It's an MP3. It's a download. It's a download, team. And the accompanying PDF handbook that we will email you. We need your email if you pledge for that, for a pledge of $100. And then we have tote bags, whereby you can radiate your inner dedication and enthusiasm and your true self so that people can find you at the farmers markets or the Whole Food Co-op, right? Magic is simply a willingness to cooperate with everything. A beautiful purple tote bag carries quite a lot for a pledge of $60. Then the spicier, edgier one, Fascism Arises in the Absence of Magic. I think that's pretty good. And then we have the Visionary Activist Show tote bag, Where's Your Liberating Blessing? As opposed to bleeping or any of those things. Where's your bleeping blessing? Where's your liberating blessing for a pledge of $60? Or all of those things, yes, all those things can be yours to fondle and use and give away for a pledge of $300 by calling 1-800-439-5732. That's 1-800-439-5732. Or pledging online securely, kpfa.org. Oh, look, here's Chris.
Hello.
Hi, sweetie.
That was amazing.
Oh, we just did a little bit.
No
we just
kidding.
Did a little bit. There's so many places to go there.
And did you say it's McMonagall? What's his last name?
Yes, McMonagle. McMonagle.
Oh.
Yes, Joe Mc and then Mon, M-O-N, and then Eagle, E-A-G-L-E.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't know how famous he was when I met him, because his wonderful wife, who's head of the Monroe Institute, a completely interesting place.
And what what's the institute name again? The Monroe
Institute.
Monroe,
was founded
okay.
in the 70s by Bob Monroe, and he would teach people, including from the Army, astral travel. But then the Army went away, and we did normal people, or they did normal people. But there's a whole other show on that to come up, because that's when he's liberated from the Army and falls in love with his true love, who's the head of the Monroe Institute, who's Bob Monroe's stepdaughter. Then he really teases... I don't know what that sound is, but... but then he teases, he's liberated. He says retired, but for everybody, we replace the word retired with available.
Yes.
Liberated and available, and may we all be liberated and available and have visionary activist swag to proclaim it.
Amen. And you know what? I have added an inducement for folks who are listening who wish to help out, which is a match. We haven't done this before this time, I think. So here we are. Paul and Merced and Mary Tilson, who is a colleague here at KPFA. She does the Back 40 show on Saturdays or Sundays. She's in Albany. The two of them together have combined their donations to KPFA to the tune of 440 smackers, which we are now invited to match, to meet that commitment. Enough of you to contribute $440 in together if you get the get several bumper stickers.
Sign up for all those bumper stickers and tote bags. You can have everything and more, and a personal blessing, a remote viewing blessing from me for $300 by calling 1-800-439-5732. Or online at kpfa.org. No, I love those matches. We got to do this thing, team, because it's fun. It's fun. And again, as David Grimes says, if we're not having fun, we're just not serious enough. So it's a fun, collaborative look. Look, the audience, the dedicated listeners, woof, the citizens of the Renaissance that's emerging only now, Paul and Merced and Mary Tilson, you know, are proffering this incentive. We love that.
Yes.
You know, it's a pledge for, you know, and as a thank you gift, you get a bumper sticker or a tote bag, a Where's Your Liberating Blessing for $25 or $60. You get a bumper sticker or a tote bag, Fascism Arises in the Absence of Magic, $25 or $60. You get the Visionary Activist Astrology Handbook and Audio Series, 9 hours, MP3 download. It's a download, and we email you the PDF as well, for a pledge of $100. Let's get that $400 thing going.
Yes.
Or all of those things minus the, all of those things. Yeah, no, everything, actually, for $300. You get the 9 hours of me, early me, but still valid, pertinent me. So the early me, the Where's Your Liberating Blessing, the Fascism Arises in the Absence of Magic, the Magic is a Willingness to Cooperate with Everything, those go very well together.
You could even think of this
as a bumper sticker.
Getting an early start on your holiday shopping. I mean, then
right,
you can...
And I recommend,
Yes, you have all these tote bags, and you can pick and choose which one you like, and then maybe which one your sister would like or your friend. At any rate, $300, and or at this point with a match, anything you donate at all, $25 is worth $50 to us. Anything you can afford, any of you, Caroline Casey listeners, the Visionary Activist Show listeners, now is your chance to double whatever you wish you could donate more. Well, now you can. Whatever you donate is being doubled by Paul and Mary. 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-KPFA, and of course online at kpfa.org. And boy, Caroline, you've got a, I see that your goal for this hour is healthy, as you said. It's $3,500.
Let's show the grown-ups we can do this.
Exactly.
But see, I like actually how it makes a sentence across your bumper sticker. You know, you go, fascism arises in the absence of magic.
Yes.
But wait, here comes the next one. Magic is simply a willingness to cooperate with everything. It goes really well together.
Yes.
And then where's your liberating blessing? There you go. It's a complete thing. Each one for $25. You know, there you go. For $75, you can have all those, and they make a complete sentence structure. Or you can go shopping with those tote bags and overlay them gracefully, you know, like a sari, in which they also, you know, like tarot cards, you can rearrange them and go and they do cohere.
This is for dairy, and this is for yes, veggies, and this one is for meat. You could be really organized. That's what I'm saying.
And an effective communicator even while shopping for your avocado.
Yes.
Right. You know, just get everybody. You know, and you can also mutter these things aloud. You know, where's your liberating blessing? You know, these are reminders. It was, you know, and this is good for our team because that arose when somebody was going, you know, grumpy, 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 this bad thing. And I was like, hey, where's your blessing? And then I go, I'll clean it up and elevate it a little for the bumper sticker part. Where's your liberating blessing? There you go. And so you can just have that on hand anytime somebody goes, bah, 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 you just hold up your bag. There you go. And it's witty, and it breaks a spell of harumphitude. It's a portable harumphitude composter by Jiminy. It's a multi-purpose shopping bag and portable harumphitude composter and liberator of all who see it. There we go. So you can have that by Where's Your Liberating Blessing? Bumper sticker or tote bag, $25 or $60. Fascism arises in the absence of magic. That's just true, you know. You know, bumper sticker, you know, or it might be too much for a bumper sticker for some of you. Tote bag preferred, $25 or $60. Magic is simply a willingness to cooperate with everything. There you go. It all works together.
That's my fave.
Yeah.
I like the other ones. I love the one about fascism, but I do like the
That's for our edgier
cooperate
team.
With everything.
Right. These are all just true things, as well
yes.
as the, where's your liberating blessing, which is an encouragement, because part of our team, we want to critique and then bless. There we go. We want to be more like the true nature of Middle Eastern culture. Underneath all of that uninitiated Mars, boom, boom, bang, and horribleness, it is a culture of reciprocal blessing. As many wonderful guests from the region remind us, blessing poker. Where's your liberating blessing? So you can have that bumper sticker for $25 or tote bag for $60. And they did. They gave us an incredible and ambitious incentive. Let's do it, team. Let's make this match $440 and about four, you know, goodness, I can't even multiply it. And more than that, by calling 1-800-439-5732.
We can say many blessings and thank you to Catherine in San Rafael, who pledged this hour. And there's a pledge from Oakland, otherwise unidentified, and another one from San Rafael. San Rafael's gotten busy this afternoon. And that's a good thing. We like that. 1-800-439-5732. What Caroline is so genius at doing, where her heart is, I think, is in building what she calls the team, that bringing us together and making us understand what we have in common and giving us that the lift of her wit. It is so important humor and the ability to see the lightness in things. And she's genius at that, and it helps us all do that. That's where the magic is for me. Because sometimes it seems really dark out there, and all I can do is either close the door and go someplace and pretend it's not happening, which is not very helpful, or, you know, find the light. There's somewhere a light. And in this case, the light is, in fact, the team. The light is the fact that you're a part of something. And when you subscribe to KPFA, you are definitely part of the community of KPFA, a really vital, important part. We're asking you to go to your phones or go online and support the station that brings you Caroline and these and her encouraging words. 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-KPFA, or online at kpfa.org. We've got about 5-6 minutes to convince you to help out the station and also to make this match. $440 is on the line here, and the rule says that if we don't make $440, we have to offer it back to Mary and Paul. And
well,
I don't know
what
they're going to feel like.
Fear.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, say what?
I don't know if they're going to say, oh, well, never mind, keep it.
Don't even go there. No.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're remote viewing. We're remote viewing even retroactively. And we might even, you know, toss convince into the cauldron and ladle out, magnetize. We're not going to conquer you. We're going to magnetize. There we go. And remote viewing, because it does fall to us, you know, after every show, you know, I mean, I used to have a part of our show called What I Wish I'd Said Last Week, which is always a good thing for all of us, but it then becomes on our work table, like, how to tease this out, going, remote viewing, that's a real thing, and remote healing, right, and remote blessing, and that's kind of what we're engaged in right now. Remote blessing, there we go, you know, magnetizing the coffers for your enthusiastic support for this show, where so many of us convene. It's so fabulous. And dedicated listeners, real citizens, you know, citizen agents, citizen bodhisattva tricksters. There we go. Citizen trickster, citizen bodhisattva trickster. Wordplay. But we need everybody for this renaissance of reverent ingenuity to rise from this rubble of churlish cruelty and to waft out, you know, again, those of us not under reactive pressure, the responsibility to waft out an ever-expanding repertoire of solace, you know, and comfort and kinship and embrace to those in Palestine, to those, you know, out there, to do effective manifest action, but also in the memosphere, in the collective realm, which radio belongs to, because it is an invisible form of magic which we convene every week. So with that encouragement to tease this forth, going, how can we be ever more effective in remote viewing, remote healing, remote blessing, as well as on the ground? Practicality, both. Pragmatic mystics, let us be that. So we're offering fun, you know, where's your liberating blessing bumper sticker? I'm going to get one for a pledge of $25. Fascism arises in the absence of magic. It's a little spicier, not for everybody, but for some, for
I
a pledge
love
of $25.
That one.
Yeah, oh, good. I love it.
Yeah.
It's true. It's just true. It's the whole point of the otherwise difficult movie, Pan's Labyrinth. Right, and we go, there we go. And again, all these things are available as bumper stickers, $25, or tote bags, $60. How wonderful. Or everything, including 9 hours of me, the Visionary Activist Astrology Handbook and audio series, and the PDF little, study guide that we email. We email it to you. No need for CDs and plastic. No need for CDs and plastic. We have too much. Remember the Peruvian women saying, the job of the women is to tell the men when to stop hunting and when to stop mining. Mm. We have enough. Stop. Everybody. So you can have all of those things, you lucky, wonderful allies, for $300. And we want to magnetize the cauldron, by calling 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-5732, or online, kpfa.org. We're remote viewing right now. We're remote viewing you. There you are with your dog, and your dog is tugging at your heels going, oh, roar, I like this show. Roar, you pledge for me. And we're remote viewing. Yes, we see you. We see you, you cute cuckoo person there sitting in your chair. There you go. And you're getting up to the chair. You're going to the phone. There you go. We see you, remote viewing. 1-800-HEY-KPFA. 1-800-439-5732. And yes, we see you in need of using your Harumphitude composter, arms folded, sitting in your car. No, there you go. Unfold those arms. Remote viewing. There we go. Pulling out your cell phone. There you go. You're going to feel really great because the nature of the universe is reciprocal blessing. May it go well for you. And then you get replenished by other people going, and you too, mwah, mwah, mwah. By calling 1-800-439-5732.
Oh, who could resist any of that? Who could? No. Please. 1-800-439-5732. Someone called from Santa Clara. Now we have literally 1 minute to make this.
How are we doing on the
$440.
So
well, I think I'm looking at right now we have Art in Healdsburg. We thank him. Sid in Casadero. One of my favorite places, and Harriet and Sausalito all called 1-800-439-5732. I will await some kind of notification from the phone room.
And then let's just be even remote viewing.
Yes.
You know, all you remote viewers, we're remotely viewing the remote viewers, all you who have ever taken entheogens, it's your turn now to call up and pledge to this show that loves them. Entheo, endogenous, indigenuity, that is one of our themes, by calling 1-800-439-5732. And you get fun swag, whereby to, you know, just humorously waft out your serious, dedicated intention. Where's your liberating blessing? Bumper sticker. Oh, here we go. $25. Call now. Love you, Chris. Thank you.
Love you, too.
Thanks always to Erica, and this is Caroline Casey, and we will continue and prevail, and we are all in this remote viewing dynamic together. Mwah.